Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, June the 28th, 178th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, speaking of new, almost new guy in the PIO slot. Are you ready?
Oh, very much so.
All right. We got Chase Adams alongside. We'll talk a little bit about some of the different things that summertime means. Obviously, we've got the 4th of July weekend. Well, weekday. Next week.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit about that, change of the guard, all that kind of stuff. And who's the better PIO?
Oh, without question.
Is it Chase or is it Matt? We'll find out when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chase Adams, but before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Horace Hutchinson. Said, quote, "If profanity had an influence on the flight of the ball, the game of golf, and I would suggest baseball, football, basketball, would be played far better than it is."
Truer words were never spoken.
I see. Are you a golfing kind of dude?
You know what? The older I get, the more I feel like I probably should pick it up. As of now, no.
Okay. Softball?
Softball, baseball, still trying to swing at hard balls, which is a...
nomenclature for not letting go.
Yeah. Very much so.
I love the Jimmy Fox quote. I don't know where it is, but to paraphrase, yeah, I spend my life hitting balls so that people can't get them. Why would I want to play a game where I have to go get my own ball?
Very nice. Very nice.
Yes, yeah. For a catcher, not bad, huh?
There you go.
Yeah. Chase, this time of the year, we start to see and experience and feel on a far more regular basis this critter called a tourist. They kind of fly into town and they look around a little bit and then they fly off. What does the tourist season mean for you folks with the CHP?
Well, fly was an apt way to describe it because 80 on a freeway down in the Bay Area or LA may not get you as much attention as it will up here, as I'm sure some of the locals know. The speed limit is more realistically at 65 miles per hour as opposed to maybe down in the Bay Area when traffic's moving a little bit faster than that. So if you're a solo vehicle doing that far over the speed limit, you'll notice. You will get noticed.
Oh, yeah, you can stand out by any place around here.
Oh, absolutely. And we see that a lot where people, I've personally had somebody with a LA or San Francisco license, and I said, "Officer, I was only doing 80. Well,
really?
Oh, commonly, especially during the summer months.
You know, I would think if you're just kind of paying attention to what's going on around you, you know, for us, we go down there, okay, we have to really jump it and kind of feel a little goosey about going 70 or a little bit higher.
Shooting the gap and
and guys
change
are still
lanes.
Zipping past you like, you know, you're standing still.
Yeah, you better not be doing 70 in the fast lane or you get.
Yeah, you get run over. Yeah,
and a lot
bump
of
to the side. Yeah,
a lot of gestures directed your way. Probably.
Yeah, exactly. And here, you know, if you're going that, you're flying by everybody. But wouldn't it make sense to look around? And gee, you know, all of a sudden, if everybody, I'm roaring past everybody, two things are immediately going through my mind. Okay, either the speedometer is broken. But there's a cop up there, and I don't see him. And everybody else is going five below the limit, while I'm not.
The funny.
I better get over and go the same speed.
Yeah, that becomes very apparent. And one of the catchphrases working in the city myself, and then getting the people who we, you know, obviously love having up here, bringing the tourism to the North Coast. But the quote that I love is, "Officer, I was only going with the flow of traffic," and I say, "You are the flow of traffic. There's nobody else around you." Or in some cases, going through the corridor north of Eureka or on some more open stretches. I make it a practice to count how many cars they pass. And at that time, I can politely call them out and say, "Well, actually, sir, I counted 8 vehicles in the mile I was trying to catch up to you. And 8 vehicles that you had passed." So it kind of takes the winds out of their sails a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, that you your flames torched as you run past.
Yes, yes.
But I don't think many people want to stand out, and yet it seems like we get caught into our own routine, whatever it might be, whether it's carrying on a conversation inside the vehicle,
well,
or whatever, and you're not watching as closely around you, so then all of a sudden you are the one acting out instead of the one going with the flow.
You know what? I think somebody should write a letter to the automobile industry, and they should invent something that could, maybe regulate your speed, cruise control device maybe.
So everybody's going the same.
That would be nice.
The folks that you guys pop between Eureka and Arcata.
Corridor.
Are they ignorant of the speed limit, or are they just trying to push it a little bit?
Again, without sounding too sarcastic.
Oh, that's our middle name here. That's what puns and sarcasm. That's what we're all about, man.
Then I will fit right in. But without sounding too sarcastic, again, maybe they should put some signs up or something, flashing lights, maybe a radar signs or something through that area to let people know what this actual speed limit is. Obviously, it's well signed.
A really loud megaphone. Hey, stupid, this is you.
That would be the next step.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either or that or... Yeah, that would probably do the trick.
Yeah, maybe. Or little figurines popping out from behind the signs.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Or a phantom, I don't know. Just park a patrol unit there or something. That might help.
It's amazing what that does, huh?
Oh, man.
Just even the old cardboard cutout would probably get most people's attention.
I think so. Northern Mendocino at the Peg House. I think everybody, even though they know it's there, even
that one, and then the one on 199
at Junction City.
Yeah. KINS News and Information Times 319.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chase Adams from the CHP. Chase, as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there with tourists, people who are unfamiliar with the area, throughout Humboldt and Delnord County, there are a number of stretches where you can tell in about 5 nanoseconds if somebody is familiar with the road or not. Right around Stone Lagoon, easy pickings. The Bluffs, just south of Crescent City, another spot that's just, those are easy spots to see. If you're on the road, either coming at somebody or behind them, and you see that they're uncomfortable with the road, what would you suggest if you could just kind of, through mental telepathy, think about this one, guys.
You know what?
Is it pull over? Is it drive a little slower? Is it take your time?
Probably all the above in that one. Number one, if you're going to enjoy the view, obviously driving through the North Coast from here all the way down to the city, you got some breathtaking world-class views of nature and the ocean. I've seen that a lot where you get a tourist from wherever, the East Coast, Middle America, and they're driving like they've, just came from the brewery or whatnot. And you're thinking, okay, this person's impaired. Are they falling asleep? Sometimes that is the case. I'd say the majority of the time, they're just looking at the beautiful views, let themselves drift into oncoming traffic. And we have seen pretty serious traffic collisions as a result of that. That's why we got the Vista points. Utilize them. I'd say that. Another thing is, even if you are trying to pay close attention to the road and you're not familiar with it, we do have some fairly intimidating stretches of highway just following the natural terrain. Keep a high visual horizon. That is something that we're taught as patrol officers, and it is invaluable. Stop looking at the hood ornament, because if you look at the whole...
What do you look at?
I look at the pretty much the farthest point of the horizon that you can...
Like the next turn kind of thing?
Kind of the next turn, the your natural point of gaze, with giving yourself a space cushion so you can perceive any roadway dangers, animals in the road, hairpin turns, traffic advisory signs before they're on you. So you want to keep your eyes up off the hood, not directly in front of the vehicle.
Is that a tendency for most folks, is to look right off the front of the vehicle?
I think it is, especially when you're kind of uncomfortable with your surroundings or unfamiliar with the roadway.
See, I'm really familiar with my hood. I don't need to be staring at that sucker. I need to be looking around
absolutely.
And seeing what's going
absolutely.
On. And, yeah, I'm up a little bit higher off the roadbed than most are. Mm-hmm. So I feel uncomfortable. Like if I was in the front passenger seat in your rig.
Sure.
Notice I'm now being specific what chair I'm sitting in.
Yes.
I would probably just go dinghy because it's so low compared to where I normally am. I'm not used to looking at hubcaps.
Correct. And
straight on. I'm used to seeing roofs.
Right.
And
right.
It just is a different feeling or
and
sensation.
And that's why I think a lot of locals do prefer the bigger rigs up here with some of the mountain roads. And sometimes it's a security thing being up above the that level and have a little bit higher point of view for the rest of traffic.
Is that a learned thing that you can do, or is that something you suggest
the,
that people
the,
do all the
high
time?
High visual horizon
yeah,
situation.
You're looking out further. Is that something you would
that's
suggest
something that,
in a city?
Oh, absolutely. You see people who traffic accident come up on it hot and hit the cars that already stopped because of that in the city, and that's because they're either distracted, looking at their radio, iPad, iPod, cell phone.
Looking at the radio? Most of us listen to the radio.
Well, you got to look at the controls to change it, Brian.
Change it?
Oh, exactly. It's on one station.
Boy,
all the
are
time.
You in trouble during this coming break, man, changing radios.
No, I'm saying in the city, obviously, when you're out of range.
Oh, okay. Okay. Just being distracted from some of the various things?
Right. And to me, a huge tip is that high visual horizon thing. I'll preach it to the high school kids when they're doing the initial traffic safety course as a requirement for your license, getting your license. It's a huge tip, man. It's paid off for me in patrol countless amount of times and just driving my own personal rig.
I guess I can't remember not looking high or out further.
It's like riding a bike. Once you get the technique down, it feels foreign not
that's
to be able
to do it.
Do it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, kind of like with seat belts.
Yeah. Muscle memory.
Yeah, I remember how weird it was when you first started having to, and now it's like it's a little uncomfortable if you don't.
You know what? I'm not gonna do it.
Okay,
our minds were in the same place though.
I'll tell you, I started it as a Lent. Okay.
Okay.
And just continued.
That's whatever works.
But it was during that time when it was optional.
Okay.
How's that?
Fair enough.
Okay. We're both safe ish.
Yes.
No. Fine. Okay. H card show one. I'll take you down. Don't worry. KINS, news and information time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Chase Adams.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chase Adams from the California Highway Patrol Swamp Division.
Lately.
Yeah, I would imagine. Father's Day weekend. Mom and Dad live out by the golf course now, so we were driving by, and it's all these cars parked out in the field. Little League. Oh, they had taken over. They had invaded the CHP office.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Little League. Now,
I think they had their All-Star game or something.
Yeah. It looked like there were a lot of rigs over there and stuff. That's going to be kind of cool to be close to the baseball park.
Yeah, it is. I've actually grown up playing there, and actually going through high school, I umpired there for the Little League and Babe Ruth leagues, and always kind of checked out the patrol cars on my way by there, and now I'm on the other side of the fence.
Checking out the soda stand.
Yeah, yeah.
Baseball park.
Yeah. Walk over there for a hot dog every now and again.
What are you doing? Oh, keeping up my energy?
Yeah, there you go. You got to do it.
Beating back the mosquitoes, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. What is the biggest challenge, Chase, that you see for law enforcement when you're dealing with somebody who is unfamiliar with the area? Now, whether it's an American tourist or a Canadian or somebody who's from overseas, what is the biggest challenge that you have for somebody who's not from Oregon or California that you run into during the summer months?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because we do have a lot of, in my experience, European tourists, Northern and Eastern, and there's a language barrier there, believe it or not. I've had several German contacts, and my German isn't as good as it used to be. So trying to explain them this isn't the Autobahn.
Right.
there is a language barrier there. But there are some very unique aspects to the roadways in Northern California, our county in particular. Animals on the road, like we talked about, driving over the sea cliff areas and whatnot, very beautiful, but, you know, can be present their own set of challenges and dangers.
Will you guys have not that you have anybody who has this level of experience, but will drive around through the tourist areas, not for speeding, not for any of that kind of stuff, but if you see something, like somebody pulled over and, you know, the rearview mirrors are still hanging out over the roadway, and just kind of pull over and suggest, you know, you guys, you want to bring it in a couple more feet here because you're hanging out. We get a logging truck coming through or an RV coming through, and it's not going to be pretty, and you're going to be spending a lot more time and a lot more money here than what you might be thinking.
Yeah, actually, it's funny that you mentioned that, because there are situations when we are approached where, I don't know if you know this, but some officers have been known to like coffee and donuts.
You know, I've been seeing it's more scones and lattes.
We've evolved.
Oh,
we've
okay.
refined our taste.
I see. This must be the younger generation of cops coming through.
Yes, the hipster generation, if you will. Yeah. That being said, though, what I'm hitting on is we do get approached by the RV drivers and the bicyclists more than anything else at cafes, or, you know, if a lot of times when we're standing out there issuing a citation, and a bicyclist or a group of bicyclists is riding by, they'll stop and pick our brain about safety issues, and a lot of times they are from out of state or out of country and doing their yearly big road trip. I've had this happen numerous times when I've had my brain picked about what's the best technique for getting through the grove down south in just at the very south end of the county, or the stretches in Oreck and Stone Lagoon, and whether they wanted to go on the opposite shoulder of traffic or go with traffic. And
That's an always go with, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. And that's what we advise them. And then we say, have fun. Sometimes feels like you're taking your life in your own hands around some of those corners. But wear bright. These guys are, a lot of the groups that do come through and the individuals are professional hobby bikers.
They know what they're doing.
They got all the equipment, all the cool yellow gear and
the
everything else.
And, yeah.
But, and then I think part of that goes hand in hand with what I was saying. They know enough to ask the local highway guys or the local, I'm sure they stop at the local bike shops and say, hey, what's the safest way not to get killed?
Are you still giving them the t-shirts, straighten out the grove?
how about the weather there, Brian?
Yeah. Yeah. You supply the shirt. I'll supply the logo at the bottom. How's
there you
that?
Go. I don't think we'll be. I don't think we'll be putting CHP on that or anything. You put KINS on it.
Yeah,
if you like.
Okay. you mentioned the bicyclists, and they really are an enigma. If there's commercial traffic on the road, there's really no space for them. They're a large part of the area where they're riding their bikes. There are some areas also where the incline is such, and they start trying to weave a little bit instead of going
just
straight,
to,
which
just maintain
again
the
causes
balance.
All kinds of challenges. What are the rules for bicycling? Is it the same as vehicles, or are there special accommodations for them? How do they fit into the landscape?
It is a large amount of the California Vehicle Code, which pertains to the motoring public vehicles, is also applicable to bicyclists. And then there's also a large section of the Vehicle Code written specifically to regulate bicycles. A lot of it around here is common sense issues.
Like around the lagoons. I mean, you've
right.
got a 6-inch side from the line to the dirt.
Exactly. Don't be going 3 miles an hour up a hill in the middle of a lane on a blind corner. Well, because if it's semi versus bicyclist, unfortunately, the semi usually wins. And they know that a lot of times. They're doing their best to hug the shoulder and hug the hillside and stay out of lane the best they can. And that's, you know, a lot of times the best you can do.
And I suppose there's not too many north-south corridors for them to use. They're out on I-5. You don't see any bicyclists there, so
I don't know why that's, you know, I-5 so beautiful.
Well, all the free tomatoes and grapes.
There you go.
Yeah, see, you get two locals together, what happens? Yeah, it goes to I-5 real quick.
Yeah. No.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:43. We'll be back with more from Chase Adams.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chase Adams. Chase, from your perspective as a law enforcement officer, as well as somebody who knows the area, when you see RVs or plates from not Washington, Oregon, or California, do they tend to get a little bit more special attention because you know that they're probably not from our area? And some of the challenges we've talked about with tourists and tourism and moving into and out of the area is, yeah, you can't escort them, but you know, pay a little bit more attention to them.
You know, off the top of my head, not so much. If you made it, let's pick a state. Let's go with Illinois. If you make it over here with an Illinois plate, you're probably doing pretty good. You know, you can probably cross some tough passes in the Rockies or somewhere. So. I don't think it's something that I particularly would pay too much attention to. We do enjoy. It's funny because each state patrol has its own identity to it, and people from different states kind of identify with, you know, the state patrol who wrote them a ticket in their home state. So they kind of like to pick our brains or pick on us at, like I said, coffee shops or on the side of the road. So it can be entertaining. You get different names for state patrol and whatnot. So I actually enjoy some of the other states' cultures coming over here and clashing in a positive way with ours. It can be fun. Especially when I work down in the southern end of the county and there's a lot more slower paced on the Avenue of the Giants and at the
tooling rather than driving.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it's to be expected. Some of the locals, I'm sure it kind of gets a little bit old for them following behind a motorhome with, let's pick on Illinois again, Illinois plates, and doing 20 miles an hour.
There you go.
And they're in the 34-foot F-350 motorhome. But it's part of the local economy and part of the local what makes Southern Humboldt, and then you got Northern Humboldt, Trinidad, the lagoons, and all that too.
Will you guys travel Old Arcata Road just as a norm out of the Arcata office if you're headed south, or are you pretty much go out on the spit or through the safety corridor?
All of the above. All of the above.
We do have the
responsibility to respond and handle any traffic situations, be it an accident, a cow gets out, somebody's broke down.
All the sexy things with cows out, pigs on the, yeah.
We're in, again, Humboldt County for you. so we do. Actually, I make it a practice if I'm working the Arcata-Eureka area to at least hit 255, which is, the Samoa area,
bridge.
at least once. Try and hit Old Arcata there and back at least once and, fly the colors without a discrimination in all the areas.
How many times do you go back to the office each day?
Depends.
Are you in a normal shift? Do you just kind of cruise around, or do you go check in, physically check in?
Well, we go back to fuel up, fill up the water bottles, whatnot. If we have paperwork, we'll sometimes be in and out. But generally, we like to stay out on the beat and away from the higher ups that like to, out of sight, out of mind type of deal.
Yeah. Ask questions like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. In all the years, I don't think I've ever asked any of the cops that question. Huh.
Yeah, I think across the board for the lowly officers, which I am definitely one of, it's the whole out of sight, out of mind. Just be out there and do your thing.
You're going to be the lowly. You're going to be high man on the short pole.
No, I'll be something. I don't know. Yeah. I'll be on carpet patrol for a while.
So was Paul pretty much just ducking us? Is that what the story boils down to today?
He's, busy, busy man, very important guy. He's working on the transition to...
V-I-G, very important guy.
I think it's V-I-D, very important dude.
I may have got that wrong.
But he's got his hands full in the seamless transition from
the
PIO position.
Smack him in the head for us, will you?
I will certainly do that for
you.
All right,
thanks, Chase. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Chase Adams. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.